My employees just got iPhone 12 on Verizon 5G, the 5G business has been waiting for. We download huge files on the go and use multicam video conferencing. Plus, with the coverage of 5G nationwide and more cities, ultra-wideband, it's 5G from the network businesses rely on.
Switch to Verizon and get iPhone 12 64 gig on us when you trade in a select device and transfer your number. 5G nationwide available in over 1,800 cities. $799.99 device payment purchased with a new line required. Credits of $250 and up to $550. Taxes, fees, and terms apply. Limited time offer.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, November 4th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Election day has passed, but social media is still the Wild West. Despite a flurry of measures to try and combat false and misleading posts online, there's still quite a bit of misinformation floating around on sites like Facebook and Twitter, especially this week. On today's episode, our senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern joins us with a guide to navigating the chaos. That's after these headlines. Earlier this week, Chinese regulators called executives from Ant Group for a closed-door meeting just days ahead of the fintech giant's initial public offering, which was expected to be the largest IPO ever. Now, Ant's IPO is on ice. The Shanghai Stock Exchange said the meeting and a changing regulatory environment have disqualified Ant from listing this Thursday as planned. The move casts doubt on the future of Ant, which is the world's most valuable tech startup, and it brings to a head tensions that have been simmering between Ant and regulators over concerns about Ant's transparency and its oversized influence on the Chinese financial system. And as Silicon Valley's tech giants work to develop augmented and virtual reality offerings, they've been looking to Hollywood. In recent years, Google, Facebook, Apple, and others have been hiring visual artists and acquiring technology first used to create digital effects in movies, including Avatar and Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Here's our reporter RT Watson with more.
Pretty much all the big tech companies are trying to create these immersive experiences. They've been investing a long time in VR. Growth sort of plateaued. AR has kind of taken over as the shiny new toy. But the thinking here is to engage users and spark sort of wide user adoption, they're going to want to have these experiences be engaging. To make that happen, they want to have, you know, what you're looking at, whether you're looking through AR glasses or you're looking into VR goggles, what you see, they want to make it look lifelike. They want to make it look real. And there's a lot that goes into that. I think they've realized in recent years that people in Hollywood, visual effects artists, engineers that have put so much time and energy into making these realistic digital characters, they just have a wealth of knowledge that can be applied to this area in creating these lifelike digital assets, if you will, for these digital platforms.
And for these new hires, working in tech offers some perks. Here's RT.
What my reporting tells me is that working at tech companies, they're getting paid substantially better. There's a lot more job security. They can plan their life around the fact that, you know, maybe they're going to work Monday through Friday. They've got a set schedule. They're not going to be expected to work, you know, through the weekend and through the night to finish this project that, you know, has to be done for post-production on a particular movie or television show. So it's a lot of things. It's a quality of life issue, but it is just also higher compensation. There's a lot of money going into AR. There's a lot of money going into VR. And of course, everybody knows that these are some of the most capitalized companies in the world, so they have a lot of money to invest as well.
All right, after the break, how to be a conscious consumer of social media this week. That's next.
My employees just got iPhone 12 on Verizon 5G, the 5G business has been waiting for. We download huge files on the go and use multicam video conferencing. Plus, with the coverage of 5G nationwide and more cities, ultra-wideband, it's 5G from the network businesses rely on.
Switch to Verizon and get iPhone 12 64 gig on us when you trade in a select device and transfer your number. 5G nationwide available in over 1,800 cities. $799.99 device payment purchased with a new line required. Credits of $250 and up to $550. Taxes, fees, and terms apply. Limited time offer.
The In recent months, we've seen social media companies take unprecedented action to try and cut back on misinformation circulating on their platforms. But so far, there's been no perfect solution. We're still seeing bad information getting retweeted, liked, and shared, particularly in the days leading up to and during the election. So here with her tips and tricks for navigating social media this week is our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. Joanna, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I've done it, by the way. I've been off social media for 24 hours now.
Wow. Congratulations. How does it feel?
You know, it makes you realize that we used to get our news from all these other sources, like the Wall Street Journal's app, which I always used anyway, but I'm just not getting it through my Twitter feed or my Facebook feed. I've watched some TV. I've listened to the radio. I've listened to some podcasts. I know what's happening in the world still. It's crazy.
Absolutely wild. Well, Joanna, let's back up and talk about some of these social media companies. We've seen them implement tons of new policies to try and control the chaos on their platforms around the election, lots of which are still in effect even after Election Day has passed. Can you just remind us what kind of measures they've been putting in place?
Yeah, so I've been sort of likening this to an amusement park. And for this special event, the companies have added lots of safety measures. They've even closed off parts of the park to control the chaos, to control the bad actors, the troublemakers. So a few things, I'll go through each of them, but Facebook has not only taken down political ads or said no political ads in the last week, they've also behind the scenes been using technology, or they are prepared to use technology, to slow down the spread of viral posts. They've done a ton of other things, obviously, in the last 4 years. Instagram has temporarily removed the recent tab from its hashtag pages to prevent the spread of misinformation. Twitter has also done a ton of things. One of the best things I think they've done, though, is they've put restrictions around its retweet feature. So you can't just easily share information. They want people to actually think about what they're sharing. So you've got to really actually read the tweet. It's crazy. Of course, all of this is never going to be controlled. There is not going to be a way where everything and everyone on the internet, on these social media platforms, are acting in good faith. Or honestly, in many cases, people don't even know that they're sharing things that are not true or sharing misinformation. But the platforms have at least here said, we know that we need to do more. The question is, will there ever be enough to stop it all? And the answer to that is no.
So with that in mind, as our senior personal tech columnist, you've put together a guide on how to navigate all of this. If you could give people one piece of advice about social media use this week, what would it be?
The first rule of election social media is you do not use election social media. I also believe this to be true during other times of national high anxiety. I think that I have learned through my usage in the last year, especially around COVID and during some of the protests we've seen, that doom scrolling, which is this process of us all just not being able to look away from our feeds, and we are scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, most of the time just looking for something worse than the next thing, is not good for us. So if you can, you try to limit the times that you're on social media when those things happen. And if you have some willpower, which it, you know, I say it's willpower, but it's really hard to do. You have to, the only thing that works for me, honestly, is deleting the apps from my phone. That means I can't search for the apps. I don't get the notifications. And I don't do this forever. I'm not saying I'm leaving social media forever, but I try to take these couple day breaks, and it really does help.
And Joanna, for some people, getting off social media altogether isn't an option, or maybe they're just not interested in doing that. For those who do want to stay online, one of the big issues is that it can be hard to sort out the fact from the fiction. How can we be sort of conscious consumers of content, especially in the chaos of this amusement park, as you put it?
The best thing you can do is do what they call lateral reading. That is, look for other articles and other reading materials on that same subject. Basically, what we do as fact checkers in journalism, if something is told to us or we want to look at some research behind something, we look for multiple sources. And so that's one of the best things you can do. The other thing that I typically do is look at the conversation around that article or around that tweet, see if other people are talking about how this might not be true. Often in social media, it's actually the people there that are vetting the information.
And of course, a big part of social media is sharing. What advice do you have for actually participating in the discourse? How can people make sure they're not spreading misinformation themselves?
Well, the first thing is look at what you're sharing. And then I think the second thing that you need to look at or ask yourself is, why am I sharing this thing? Is it because I am doing it because I want to get more likes? Is it because I think my followers need this information? Is it because I just find it interesting and I don't have any other place to share it and I don't know what else to do with it? All of those are reasons we all share things all the time. We just need to make sure that what we're sharing is actually true and not just adding to the chaos that's already out there. One thing I want to remind people of is that misinformation is only harmful if it spreads. If one person puts up something that isn't true and it doesn't spread across the internet, well, then it's really not that harmful. It's sort of like a tree falls in the woods. Did it happen? Right? But we perpetuate the sharing. And many of us don't even sometimes know we're sharing something that causes that chaos.
And Joanna, just taking a step back, I want to acknowledge how wild it is that this is a guide that you even felt like you had to make.
It's funny, I'd been thinking about it for the last couple of weeks because everyone has been saying you need to make an election day plan, right? Or your voting plan. And I had already voted and I was like, I don't need to make a plan for that, but I do need to make a plan for how I'm going to emotionally and psychologically deal with the influx of news that's going to be on my computer and on my phones and as the gadget journalist at the Journal, every other gadget that I have around me right now that I'm testing. And so I sort of just figured, shut it down. And here we are. We're doing it.
Shut it down. Our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you. And I will not see you on social media today.
All right. That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find Joanna's column plus more tech stories and election coverage on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.